You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
ParanormalNewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for today, April 10th, 2018, and episode number 356. That's a lot of numbers. Yeah, it's April 10th, 2018, and episode number 356. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, bringing you the Paranormal News Insider. And this week, we've got a few interesting stories. The Loch Ness Monster is alive and well. And with family, purportedly, UFOs or lasers, mysterious blue light in the sky. Well, either way, it's solved. And you'll find out how tonight. And we'll also talk about a psychic's identity stolen and used for fraud. That's kind of weird. Another mind-reading device in the news. We talked about that last week. Kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent, but... well, here it is again, another story. And flat earth belief is taking shape in the youth. Well, there we go again, talking about flat earth. Can't seem like I can escape that story, but who knows? Maybe people will get it sooner or later. Well, this week's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics, to quantum physics, to cosmology, to psychic phenomena. Metaphysical humanistic science, also called metaphysical humanism, is simply our term for the study of metaphysics focused on understanding and enhancing the human condition and all that it encompasses. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. You can do it after the show. Don't do it now. Well, if you got your phone, you can do it there. Great lineup of classes there, and it's also got a sister school that you can also visit, the Thomas Francis University, and that's available. You can check that out also at tfuniversity.org as well. And my goodness, I don't know, is it me or is this year just seeming like it's whipping by awful fast? I don't know. It seemed like there for a while ago it was a couple of months to April, and now here it is almost the middle of April already. And for me, I've got some stuff going on in April. I actually have next Monday, which is weird to do an appearance on a Monday night. But I will be at the Pickaway County District Public Library. And that's down in Circleville, Ohio. And Circleville is basically known for two things. One, that the center of town is, the streets are in a circle. That's why it's called Circleville. And they're also known for pumpkins. Probably not this time of the year, but pumpkins. They have a giant pumpkin water tower in town. It's pretty cool, actually. And I'll be there again April 16th. I think I'm there, 6 o'clock? That sounds good. I'll be there at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30 Eastern. So come on down and join the fun. I'll be talking about ghosts and some interesting places to investigate here in Ohio and, Kentucky and different places that are close to that area. down in southern Ohio. It'll be a good time. I love talking about ghosts. And speaking of ghosts, well, I can't really talk about that, but now that I've mentioned it, I'm going to be going on a ghost hunt to a location that I'm not going to say yet, with a group of people that I'm not going to say yet. And that's next month. And after it's all said and done, then I'll kind of talk about it a little bit. But I'm excited because this is a place that I've been wanting to go to for a while. And a lot of people promised, hey, we'll get you in there. But it never happened. So now I'm finally getting to go next month. I'm excited about that. And a friend of mine who's also going to be joining me, he's very excited about this, to be able to get back out into the field and research and investigate ghostly phenomena. So looking forward to the little ghost stuff that's coming up here over the course of the next month or so. And then down in July, I'll be doing some UFO stuff. That's right. July 27th through the 29th, I'll be in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. Last year, I was one of four speakers that spoke at the Kecksburg UFO Festival. This year, I'm not going to be speaking. Also, Colin Schneider, host of the Monday Night Show here on WCJV, he was also a speaker last year, but neither one of us are speaking. It's nothing that we did wrong. It's just they like to rotate people in and out, which is great. Keeps the event fresh. It's a really fun and exciting event, and both Colin Schneider and I will both be there at tables. So we'll be hanging out. I'll be selling some books, and I don't know, Colin will be hanging out watching me sell books. No, just kidding. We'll have a good time. It's a great event. There's a lot of really cool people that go through there. It's really a really, really unique event. It's kind of like a fair, street fair, street food, county fair, and a ghost slash UFO event all in one. It's just, well, mostly cryptid stuff there, in addition to UFO things. And it's just really unique. And it's all happening in a place where one of the probably most popular East Coast UFO crashes has taken place. It's pretty close to it. So it's really, really unique. Always great speakers at this event. I haven't even, honestly, haven't heard who's going to be speaking, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty good. And always have fun there. So Colin and I will be traveling down there together to hang out at the Kecksburg UFO Festival in July. And I thought I had something else going on. Oh, yeah, I do. I will be doing ghosts here in April and May, and then July doing UFOs. Well, in October, I'll be doing cryptozoology. Yeah, weird. I'll be speaking at the Al Batwitch Festival in Columbia, Pennsylvania. That's on October 13th. That's another event I've always wanted to go to. And Colin spoke there last year and invited me out there. And I just, it's like 5.5 hours and I had stuff going on. I couldn't make it. But this year, I'm going to be speaking. So I'm excited about that at the Al Batwitch Festival. And I'll also be speaking for the 10th year in a row down at the Westerville Public Library, just on the outskirts of Columbus, Ohio. It's Westerville is northeast of Columbus, kind of right there, right near the metro area. And as I mentioned, the 10th straight year, 10 consecutive years speaking at the same library. I'd say that's rather unheard of, even for a cryptid program. It's pretty darn good. We're actually usually do a ghost program every October, but we're going to switch it up this year. We're going to do a little bit of a cryptid program that I think is going to be really, really interesting. It's going to get a lot of interest, I think. It's really Ohio-based stuff, but I'll be talking about a lot of different things with cryptozoology, and I think people will enjoy that. It's always ghosts, ghosts, ghosts in October, but why not do the cryptid type thing? And I think it's going to work out pretty well. So yeah, I'm kind of involved in all kinds of stuff. Ghosts, UFOs, and cryptids. It's a lot of fun. And it keeps me on my toes because there's so much to know. And speaking of wanting to know, you always want to know what the news is. And that's what you're here for, right? Not to hear me rambling on about my appearances. Too bad. And I missed one. Yeah, the unconventional. Forgot about that one. October 5th and 6th. That's a busy week for me. I'm taking a vacation that week. I'll be at the UNCON 12, which is known as Unconventional. And that's in Piqua, Ohio. It's actually pretty close to Circleville, which is weird. And there, I'll also be talking cryptozoology. So October is officially cryptozoology month for me. I'll be really amped up for that. Really excited to talk cryptozoology. So it's weird. My month, my year is basically broken up between all these three segments. So I don't know. Maybe I'll get another UFO gig in there somewhere. That would be nice. And if you're interested in checking out any conference or convention, you can head on over to paranewsinsider.com. That's where I have my list of conferences and conventions. I do the best I can. I try to put together a nice list of a variety of types of conventions, and I try to separate them by what is a majority at the particular event. So I have ghost conferences and conventions, which is pretty much a bulk, pretty much the majority of all of these. And they're in order by date, which makes it easy for you, right? I hope. Don't have me alphabetize them. That would be pretty bad. Then you have UFO events and also cryptozoology events, which a majority of them pretty much all Bigfoot stuff. That's okay. That's okay. Well, some Sasquatch stuff. Same difference, right? But it's really nice, I think, if you get the chance to go out to any of these events. These things, they're worth it. I mean, yeah, you might spend a little bit of money, but they're worth it to interact with people, to network with people, to learn from other people. And yeah, no two are ever the same. Man, it's just so nice to get involved in the field that you have a passion for, that you enjoy, you're like, maybe you just have a passing fancy for it, but get out there, meet these people. And if you click these links and you look, you'll see a list of speakers for most of these events. They've already announced various speakers, so you can kind of hone in on the kind of people that you want to listen to. If you're into the TV shows for ghosts or cryptozoology, whatever, there's plenty of those out there for you as well. But I highly recommend talking to the people that are doing this stuff at grassroots level, whether it's ghosts, cryptozoology, or even UFO research. They all have their big wigs. They all have their big people that do the tour that are out there all the time. Not saying they're not good to listen to, but I think you'll learn a lot from people that are very similar to you if you're a grassroots kind of person. And you're just kind of learning the ropes out there. And you'll meet a lot of other groups and individuals that are sharing that same passion. So again, highly recommend it. Get out there. And you can get out there by looking at my website, paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top. And as always, if you have any information about any event and you want me to talk about it, tell me and I'll talk about it. Otherwise, I probably won't talk about it unless I'm going. It's a great way to get me to talk about your event. Have me speak. Yeah, see what I did there? Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's get into some news. What do you say? And we'll start it off in cryptid news. Haven't had a whole lot of cryptid news lately. I don't know why. I don't make the news. I just report it. And this is coming from Scotland, of all places. So, yeah, you might have guessed. It's about the Loch Ness Monster. Well, Loch Ness Monster seems like it's hot and cold. You hear a lot about it. Done nothing for months. Sometimes years. We had a year with no Loch Ness Monster reports, or just the story that there was no Loch Ness Monster reports. But, well, apparently the Loch Ness Monster is alive and well, and might have been up to some activity, because it's got a family, apparently. So it's, I guess it's active in more ways than one. Well, the Loch Ness Monster, reported by Dakota Franson, who was on vacation. Well, I guess they call it holiday in the UK, right? That's what they call it. I'm on holiday. That just seems weird. Holidays like Christmas or Easter. I don't know. Anyway, if you're from the UK, I guess that's what you say. Well, he's from Idaho, so he says he says vacation. And of course, like many other purported witnesses, his sighting came near Urquhart Castle. It's always popular with the Loch Ness Monster sightings. Well, Dakota described his sighting as a large, dark-shaped creature with the skin of a hippopotamus. Yeah, I guess it was that close. And he knows hippopotamus skin very, we'll just leave that right there where it's at. Just going to put that down and walk away. And this hippopotamus-skinned creature that was swimming was about 40 feet in length. That's a ginormous hippopotamus. and it was moving about in the water close to Urquhart Castle. Gary Campbell, who I've talked about here on the show before, he is keeper of the official register of sightings at Loch Ness. That's his own title. He just made it up, and all the news reports it that way. He added in that the other shapes were seen in the water and suggests that these shapes could be part of Nessie's family. Well, he actually said, quote, "Interestingly, there were a number of shapes seen in the water, so it may be Nessie and her family," unquote. So I guess Nessie's a female. I guess he knows. I guess he's spent a little more time in Loch Ness than some other people because he knows the, right. That's another one. We're just going to lay that one down and walk away slowly. Well, geez, I mean, I wonder if the family members now, these offspring or Nessie's, I don't know, husband, do they get married? I don't know. I wonder if they're going to get their own statues and maybe t-shirts along with cool nicknames that end in IE. I don't know. Maybe that's a really good marketing technique. I mean, maybe you could do those, you know, those family sticker things that people have on the back of their cars, you know, on the back windows with the various, you could do like various sized plesiosaurs. And of course, you know, one of them, not Nessie, obviously, but, you know, the other one next to Nessie would be wearing one of those tam o' shanter hats or maybe a kilt. I don't know. Could they wear a kilt? It's kind of weird. Anyway, the story also coincides with a story published earlier this year that I don't remember seeing. I don't think I reported on this. But the story says that a woman named Rebecca Stewart, who is from Lancashire, England, won the annual Best Nessie Sighting of the Year with her photograph, and she got a hefty 1,500 British pound award. That's pretty hefty. Well, that's money. And if you don't know, and it actually converts to just over $2,100. That is hefty. That's not a lot to laugh at. That's a good chunk of change right there. I could sure use 21 holiday picture. Yeah, all of that for a blurry photograph of some small object sticking out of the water far off in the distance. And that was taken during her honeymoon last October. Wow. Well, of course, this is all courtesy of Gary Campbell and his official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, and courtesy of the bookmakers, William Hill. And, you know, I guess it's good. I guess it's good. It's good to know that there's absolutely no motivation whatsoever for anyone out there to fake any sort of sighting when it comes to the Loch Ness Monster. That's great. You know, it's not like they're bribing anybody to turn in fuzzy pictures of logs or fish coming out of the water, anything like that. It's good. It's perfectly healthy fun. And of course, the legend lives on. I mean, you need the tourism. Where else are you going to go on your honeymoon? Hawaii? Oh, come on. Who goes to Hawaii when you can go to Loch Ness for your honeymoon? That's ridiculous stuff. Come on. Well, I went to Alaska, so I can't really say, but I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, there's a link for you. You might want to duck. There it goes. So I do share links to these stories. And yeah, you could probably, you know, search for these. You can, you know, Google these things and find some links. But not all links are created equal. And I like to find certain links that have good information or up-to-date information or that have pertinent information to more of the angle of the story that I'm talking about or whatnot. So if you're in the neighborhood, pop in and say hi. Pop into the chat room, and quite a few friendly visitors in there, as always. And you can get these links long before I post them on Facebook, if I remember to post them sometimes. And, of course, my Facebook is tied to my Twitter. Not literally, figuratively, of course. So anything that I post on the Paranews Insider, yeah, it's not Paranormal News Insider. It's just Paranews Insider. Anything I post on the Facebook Paranews Insider site goes to the Twitter feed, and that is at Paranews Insider, of course. So you'll get all that news. Anyway, you get those links during the week. If you don't have sense. You don't have time. I get it. You don't have time to pop in here right now. I get it. I get it. But you'll get those links during the week either way. So that is your cryptid news for the week. Sorry to disappoint. I know there's probably think there's a lot of other stuff going on, but right now it's kind of quiet. Well, I do have here. I'll throw the other link in there. This was the link. You could see the picture of this Loch Ness monster sighting that won $2,100. Pretty cool. Yep. There it is. Well, we're going to move on to UFO news. And this was quite an interesting story that, I thought it was going to get a little bit more traction than what it did in the mainstream news, as well as with a lot of, conspiracy theorists or UFO believers. But it really just kind of fell flat. Not too many people really talked about this. And I was kind of hoping it would pick up a little bit more steam. That's a pun, but you don't know it yet. That was funny, but you won't get it until later. So it's going to be like a joke grenade. You'll get it in about a minute or two. So anyway, we're going to stick over out in the UK, and we're going to go to England this time. And the night of April 4th, that was an interesting one, over the skies, over an area just northwest of London, England. While numerous people reported a strange glowing blue light in the sky that seemed to illuminate the clouds. There was a lot of guesses made about what might have caused the light. Well, obviously from UFOs to some other mundane type of explanation, such as a RAF transporter plane in the clouds. That was, the lights were making it turn blue, to partygoers on the ground casting the blue light from below, and obviously the plane from behind the clouds. And the lights reportedly were moving and moving quite quickly at times, which seems to put a dampener on the possibility that it was a light from below. If it's traveling, it's probably not partygoers, unless they're in a car. I know that you have the underbody kits with the lights, but I don't know about a sunroof light. I don't know. Maybe there is such a thing. I don't know. This is the UK. They're kind of on the trend of things. But anyway, one crazy guess about what could have been the cause to this was somebody suggested it was a light from a train traveling north at the time. Well, that makes no sense. What kind of a train has a light on it? That's just silly talk. Sounds like swamp gas or something ridiculous like that. But anyway, rumors of aliens began, obviously, behind this story when it first broke. Of this strange glowing blue spot in the sky illuminating the clouds. Well, that kind of did help the story get out to the media, but that was about it. It just kind of fell flat. And when it pretty much said that it's probably not aliens, I think a lot of people just dropped it and kind of walked away. And I didn't really see anybody, your normal, typical conspiracy theory people on YouTube and otherwise, talking about this story or claiming that it was definitely a UFO or some kind of breach from another dimension or anything like that. Nobody really seemed to talk about it. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But it was more down-to-earth solution that was eventually the explanation behind it. It did take a couple of days, though, so it wasn't immediate. I think it took about 3 days for them to get back online and write a story that cleared everything up. And it came courtesy of a video taken on a closed-circuit video camera that ultimately showed the culprit. It was, in fact, a blue light that was being displayed upward from on top of a train that was traveling northward at the time. So yes, that mundane, really weird explanation that makes no sense. Well, that's the explanation. It's on video. But why? There seems to be a little confusion, especially when you read the story about this, as to why the train was emitting a bright blue light from it. And again, the answer is, again, fairly simple. I don't know why it's taken them 3 or 4 days, and they still haven't figured it out. It took me about two from a little research and reading. The train in question is called a new measurement train, and its function is to assess the conditions of the rail line to determine where improvements or work is needed along the tracks. And the blue light that is emitted from the top of this train, it's not in the front shooting up. It's more kind of almost towards the middle here. And the blue light is created by lasers. Yes, lasers. That are looking for overhead obstacles and measuring the wires and other objects that pass over the train. A record of the train being the one responsible was discovered by those commenting on one of the stories. Yet the news, I don't know why, they still seem pretty oblivious to these trains and why they emit a blue light. Well, the light itself, again, a laser, it kind of looks diffused, basically due to the low cloud conditions. And it's also why the light seems to make the cloud glow. So it looks glowing blue, but you can tell that there's something coming from the bottom. I guess if you're close enough, but this light was seen from about 10 or 15 miles away, give or take, depends on the area. But again, it was traveling, so who's to say how far away you could really see it at the time it was seen, but it was seen along a fairly long stretch of track area. And again, this is on the outskirts of London, England. So there's, you know, quite a few people that live in that area. Now, there is a YouTube video, which I found, that shows a few seconds of this new measurement train with a blue light. And it is passing by at night where the blue beams can be seen shooting upward. Now, they don't create the same effect, obviously, because the cloud cover is different. Actually, I don't think there's any cloud cover in this video. And so it was pretty easy to verify this by finding that video and looking at it. It looks exactly the same as the video in question. And in the video in question, you can tell that this is the same light that was captured on camera by a few other people, the same blue light that lit up the clouds. Now, these trains are locally nicknamed the Flying Banana. And that's because they are, well, they're yellow, and they travel pretty fast. So people are pretty familiar with these. So it's kind of striking that not a lot of people came forward about this and said anything about it. But I guess you'll have that. But it was a mystery, and it could have been one of those that went down in history as a UFO or unexplained. Especially if the media doesn't go back and say anything. There's really not going to be a lot of information about the story moving forward about it. But that's what I'm here for. I'm here to clear up these stories and give you the truth about what happened. And yeah, blue light special, I guess. Let me get I have a link to the video, and I actually started it. It starts 38 seconds in automatically. You're welcome. So you don't have to watch the other 38 seconds. And you'll see the train with a little blue light. So you can see it when it starts, it goes by, and you can see the little blue light laser. There's about halfway the train can tell. It's cool. It's cool. Fun story. And let me throw the link to that in the chat room. I've got quite a few links on this one. We'll do this one. We'll do the one where it was revealed, but they still have no clue as to why the train is shooting a blue light in the sky. There's that one. And, well, yeah, that's it. That's all I'm going to share. That's all I'm going to share. So, yeah, that's your UFO news for the week. I know, again, not really that exciting, but I don't make the news. I don't make the news. It's just that time of the year. And it's also that time of the show where I have to let you know that you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we're talking paranormal news. That's what we do around here on the Paranormal News Insider. What else are we going to talk about? Well, I guess there's a lot of other things to talk about. We're going to jump off the tracks here. Okay, that wasn't funny. And we're going to go into ghost news. Yeah, that's right. We're going to hit everything. Cryptid, UFO, and ghost news tonight. And we got some other stories. Don't worry. Now, you might remember last week, I kind of went off the rails. Okay, enough train jokes. about people reading minds last week, and I got a similar story here. But now, you know what? We're gonna go. We're gonna finish Ghost News. We're gonna talk about this clairvoyant. She's clairvoyant, and this is an odd headline. It quickly grabbed my attention last week, and I thought it was just kind of, I don't know, ironic, I guess the headline was. From the United Kingdom's Metro, I saw the story. And it was titled, quote, "Clairvoyant discovers fraudster impersonating her to con people," unquote. Because as we know, clairvoyants, psychics, mediums, well, psychics more than mediums or larges, they're accused quite frequently of being frauds and con artists, trying to con people out of large sums of money. So I thought that was kind of ironic. So I was like, okay, how is this happening? So, you know, I was just curious about this, and I was like, man, this isn't really the kind of story I'm probably going to end up talking about. But I found it very interesting on a number of levels, including that level there, which is the basement. So there were several different directions my mind went through when I was reading this, and I thought it could go in a lot of different directions. But it does boil down to people using the success of others to try and cash in. Imagine that. And it starts with 71-year-old Maureen Smith from Scotland. Yeah, we're still over there. And she's been able to contact the other side for about 30 years, according to her. And recently, she discovered that someone had been contacting her Facebook followers and was pretending to be her. And she also found out that this person had been charging 10 British pounds, or about $14 U.S., to conduct initial readings before asking for bank information, which obviously looking for more money. Apparently, Maureen found out about this scam when the fraudster contacted her husband, because her husband probably follows her business there on Facebook. So good old Raymond was contacted for a consultation with the fake Maureen. I wonder how far he went. Did he actually give her the money? I don't know. Probably not. We'll leave that one there too. Now, she has since warned her followers via Facebook, and so far police state that no crime has been reported, although Maureen did file a report with the police, and no information about the other person's identity has been discovered at this point. She probably got the hint, or maybe it was a he. I don't know. Oh, it's not me. I can tell you that much. And for those who might be wondering, you know, about, you know, I made the little irony kind of thing there. Well, Maureen does hold public events for a fee, but she uses these events to raise money for a variety of charities. So every time she does one of these events, she has a different charity that she donates the proceeds to. And if you do the math, it's pretty much a majority of that money. So she's probably just paying for the venue. Okay, I know. I know what you're thinking. She should have seen that coming. I get it. That's the oldest psychic joke in the book. But yeah, I mean, surprised she couldn't figure out who it was. You know, it was some strange lady with blondish brownish hair who lives near water. That's pretty much who it was. Yeah, I know. Jokes are bad tonight. I get it. And so I'll throw that link in Lake Erie. No, actually, I'll throw it in the chat room first. Boom. There you go. And moving on. Moving away slowly from the ghost news. We're going to get into some other news here. And I was thinking about the story I talked about with last week. I shared the story. That was about an attempt for scientists to tap into the brain, not the mind, the brain, to create a form of telepathy with tiny microchips about the size of a grain of rice, I guess they said, that were planned to be put into our skulls. And I was a little fun with that story. But now, MIT, the MIT Media Lab from MIT, has stepped forward to talk about a new apparatus that will be able to read our minds to help give us answers, because we all know that's what kind of technology we need. I mean, why don't we just have them fly airplanes too, drive cars, crash into people, and who knows how worse that's going to get. Let's just fly airplanes and just control the planet. And yeah, why not strap something to our head to tell us what we're thinking? Great idea. Great idea. So think of it as the best way I could come up with was think of it as like Alexa. You know what Alexa is. And basically, instead of asking questions, you just think of something and Alexa will not only know what you're thinking, but give you an answer. And not an audible answer. So think of it as an Alexa that can read our thoughts and give us answers, essentially without a word being uttered. I know that's scary. The technology is a headset named Alter Ego. What a great name, Alter Ego. The headset is in prototype mode, and it works by being attached over the ear and along the jaw. You might have seen a picture of this. It's a white apparatus, again, that hooks over the ear and it goes along the jawline, kind of underneath the lip there. And the device is able to read thoughts that are sent from the brain to the jaw as we are about to ask a question out loud. I don't know how they're able to get to that point between our mind and words entering our jaw. I don't know how they figured that out or did that, but that's what they're claiming anyway. And the device is then able to make use of this information as it's gathering it, as it's going toward our jaw, apparently, and actually give us answers. Now, the answers are transmitted to the user through vibrations made along the jawbone that is then picked up by our ears. So by thinking of a question like, what time is it? The device would then transmit a vibration for us to hear without any audible interruptions so that we can concentrate on our other daily activities, or should I say other distractions, because pretty much all we do as human beings, we're just constantly distracted. I mean, really, that's all we do. We're just always distracted. We live distraction. I mean, that's all it is. So this, I don't know how that works. I guess it just vibrates. Maybe it makes a sound. I don't know. Like you can hear certain things differently from contact with your body. So it won't be heard by other people. They might hear like a vibration, like a phone vibing or something. But you'll hear actual words responding by the vibrating thingamadoodad on your chin. Spooky. Now, the device was thought to help reduce the amount of distraction that smartphones have created, as well as an alternative and potentially future replacement for devices like Alexa, so we can carry on a more distraction-free life. Sure. So we're not staring at the ground while we're walking with our smartphones, so they don't have to put the like crosswalk information on the ground instead of at eye level, because nobody really looks at eye level anymore. It's always face down into the phone. But now we're going to have these little things on our heads vibrating, and we're going to be talking to ourselves. But luckily not out loud anymore, because that's really spooky when you see somebody talking to themselves. I'm quite guilty myself. So we won't have to do that anymore. We just keep all that dialogue internal and we'll get answers. And I'm not sure I want answers to some of the stuff that I have internal dialogue on. I don't know about you. Maybe I have problems, but sometimes things go through my mind that I'm just like, why did that go through my mind? Or why am I thinking of what I'm thinking? And if I ask myself, why am I thinking what I'm thinking, I certainly don't want an answer vibrating on my chin. I certainly don't want that. I know that's quite philosophical to think that way. You know, how far is that going to go? It's just weird to think that way. Like you can't even have a conversation with yourself in your own mind anymore without somebody listening in. That's scary. So I was quite skeptical of the story, let alone the device. So I kind of had to look up quite a few different links because I wanted to make sure, is this just some kind of spoof story? Is this something left over from April Fool's Day? What's going on? But apparently this is a real thing. This is a real deal. And according to early test results, it's said to have been 92% effective in translating the information from the brain through the device. 92%. So I guess they're doing something right. I don't know what they're doing or how they're doing it. They don't really explain it. But it spooks me out. I'm not a fan of this. I'll call me old-fashioned. I don't care. I certainly don't want things drilled into my head or microchips in my brain or things reading my thoughts, giving me answers to questions that I don't really want question answered to, I guess. It's just, I don't know. It's just a crazy snowball that I just don't think we need to throw right now. And obviously, this being in the early stages of development, I mean, really, who knows if it's ever going to come out. But 92% effectiveness of translation, that's pretty positive. That's a pretty positive result. And again, I wouldn't trust it for directions or making payments through my bank account, through my mind. I don't think that's something I would trust. This sounds like future, you know, future high technology, but obviously researchers are looking very close to tapping into the impulses of the brain to communicate with technology as our next step in evolution of technology. I'm not sure that that's where we need to go as far as people are concerned, but that's what they want to do, and that's where they're going to go, and they're going to keep pushing it until we're not doing anything but just like little blobs of skeletal mass just sit around and letting computers do everything. I'm not sure. And there's probably not a whole lot we can do to stop it, no matter what potential issues this may cause. I mean, just think about it. Well, don't think about it because it's going to know you're thinking about it. And it's going to give you an answer as to why you're thinking about it. And then you're going to end up arguing with yourself. I don't know. It's just weird to think that way. Anyway, just like last week's rant, I see many potential issues and really a lot of violations of privacy. I mean, how long until these devices are used by advertisers to gain our attention? You know, you walking around, you're thinking of something. Oh, gosh, I got to do my laundry. No. Tide advertisement pops up or it vibrates and says, you might need to buy some Tide. I'm not getting paid to say that, by the way. I'm just saying it as an example. No way are they sponsoring this show. I wish they were. That'd be great. I mean, how long until these devices track our innermost thoughts, our desires, and again, our private internal dialogue, which I don't know, maybe it's just me, but there's a lot of things that roll through my mind that I really don't want to say out in public sometimes, mean, nasty things and otherwise. And then what if they use that information against us? And we get pulled into court. Well, on the April 10th, you were thinking this. And now this happened as this person. So you were thinking that. Well, that doesn't mean I did something. Well, that's what you thought. And it was recorded. Who knows? I mean, we could be that close. I mean, everything else that we do, especially on smartphones, is being recorded or seen or tracked, logged, creating data for everything we do. That's why we get advertisements that pop up that relate to us, because they're tracking everything we do. Not to sound like some kind of conspiracy nut, but it's true. And it's scary. And these kind of devices, they scare me even more. I don't want some things strapped in my head, reading my thoughts. That's just not cool. I need a little freedom. I need a little freedom to think. I mean, gosh, just where is that going to go? I mean, we can't even get along. We can't even have meaningful conversations on social media without people blowing up about things. So we're going to, you know, have our thoughts being read. That's not good. Again, this isn't telepathy or allowing computers to read our mind, as it's basically just interpreting impulses from the brain. From what I gather, I don't know exactly how they're doing this or how the information is being torn out of our brains at this point. But I don't know. They're 92% effectiveness. That sounds pretty darn good to me. So we'll keep our ears peeled for that. I don't know. That's just – I get one more of those stories. I don't know. That's just kind of freaking me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It's just I mean, I've seen a lot of great technology over the years. You know, I grew up without computers. I grew up without video games. And to see all this stuff in our lifetimes, it's really exciting. You know, I can only imagine people that were, you know, in their, you know, older people that grew up and saw airplanes evolve into these jets and now we're flying around in these. That would be kind of cool. But, you know, all this technology is just really, really moving fast. And I don't know about integrating things with the human mind or the human brain, I should say. It's just, I don't think we're ready for that. Just don't think we're ready for that. Well, what's it for me to say, right? I'm not the scientist. I'm not the one making money from doing that stuff. So anyway, I guess I'll just let that go and we'll see what happens. Who knows? Could be some setbacks to it, I hope. Wasn't me though. No matter what you think I'm thinking. You know, and I hate to end the show on a flat note, but I got to bring it up because I read about it and I shook my head. And we've been talking a lot about flat earthers and stuff happening with this belief system. And, you know, I would say that they're back, but apparently they never went anywhere. I wish they'd go into space. I really do. And they could see for themselves. Yes, flat earthers, they're back. Well, they never went anywhere. They're still here. And these are the people that believe that the earth isn't round. Well, that's what the story says. And I agree, though. The earth is not round. I totally, completely agree, 100%. The earth is not round. You heard it here. I agree. The earth is not round. Because it's actually spherical. It's spherical, not round. Anyway, not to be too technical. The story is from inverse.com. And I normally don't do this, but I'm going to read a good chunk of this here. And the story actually says, quote, a new study by YouGov published Monday, which was way back on the April 2nd, reveals that only 66% of Americans 18 to 24 years old, a major chunk of this country's millennials, firmly believe the earth is round. The survey also shows that the younger respondents tended to be the more likely they were to have doubts about the long-established fact of a globe-shaped earth. For example, 76% of 25 to 24-year-olds, that's what it says. It doesn't make any sense. 25 to 24-year-olds surveyed reported they believe the earth is round, while 82% of those in the 35 to 44 range answered, I have always believed the world is round. I don't know, it's conflicting information. Let me check to make sure that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what it says. That's weird. I don't know. I don't trust this poll, really. There's only like, let's see, what was it? 124 people surveyed, something like that. That's not very many. It's not really a really scientific survey. It's just, I don't know. I think they did it more to look at the correlation between people who believe in a flat earth and religions. Because you have, if you look at the total numbers on the little bar graph here, it shows that very religious people, just regular people, it's 20%. Then somewhat religious, it's 37%. Those, I guess those are the kind of people that go to church for holidays. Then you have 17% of people who are not very religious, who probably only went to when they got married, and 25% of people who are not religious at all. That's just the data from the people who contributed to this this poll. And then we look at flat earthers and their religious beliefs. 52% of the respondents who are in the flat earth belief area, 52% consider themselves very religious versus 20% of those of us that believe it's spherical. And then you have 23% of people who are somewhat religious, and then down to 8% who are not very religious, and 17 who are not religious at all. So it's a little significant bump there. 75% of people who are very religious and somewhat religious are flat earth believers. And you have 57% of just the regular population who are very religious or somewhat religious. So that kind of points towards people who believe in flat earth are more religious, which is weird. That's not something that we would ever have thought about. But all these stories coming out about this YouGov poll really focus on this factoid of 66% of Americans, 18 to 24-year-olds, firmly believe the earth is round. They just focus on that. And of course, I'm not downplaying this, but you have to understand I agree, it's a lot. There's a lot of people that believe the earth is flat, but you have to realize that the number here is it's kind of an illusion, and it's an illusion that statistics create. So you're saying 66% of American 18 to 24-year-olds firmly believe the earth is round. So that's really only 34% of people that believe that it's spherical. So, you know, that sounds like a lot smaller of a number, obviously. But they're using the 66 to make it sound like it's a bigger number on the other end of the scale, which it's not. 34. But I'm not downplaying it. It's still staggering. 34% of the youth believe that the earth is flat. My goodness, that's crazy. But just realize that these numbers, just kind of the way they're presented, is kind of, they're just trying to make it more of an impact, I think, here. Still, 34%? My goodness. The flat earth movement is said to be partially based, according to this story on Inverse.com. And obviously, the YouGov thing doesn't go into it because it's more focused, I believe, on this religious aspect for whatever reason. I don't know what they're proving with that, because I'm not sure if that's really legit when you look at all flat earth believers or a larger chunk of the population. Because, again, this is a really small sample size, and I'm not sure how much I believe in it overall. And the flat earth movement, again, is said to be partially based with religion, according to this study. But according to Inverse.com, it might actually have more to do with internet culture, as well as celebrities such as musicians and sports stars that have shared their firm beliefs on this topic. And that's the stuff that I've been talking about here on the show over the course of the last few years. A lot of people have come forward and made some crazy admissions that they truly, honestly believe that the earth is flat. And whether they like it or not, I think they like the attention, but I don't think they realize just how influential some of these people are. And sometimes it's not in a good way. When people are saying things that they don't understand, or talking about science when they have no clue about how science works or what science is. And that can affect a lot of people negatively, especially younger people who are very prone to catching these outlandish or unconventional beliefs and taking them in to mean something more than what it really is, especially when you're adding in the fact that some people are basically talking about conspiracy theories, and that the government is keeping this a secret, and that the knowledge we have isn't the right knowledge. So, you know, younger people, they like to question things, of course. So, you know, I think it's true. You know, but I personally don't care what Tila Tequila says. But then again, I'm not a younger person. So yeah, Tila Tequila, NFL quarterback Geno Smith, rapper I still don't know how to say his name. Is it B.O.B. or Bob? I don't know. And I guess, you know, I really don't care. Sorry. Musician Father John Misty. Another one I've never heard of. And NBA star Kyrie Irving. And also Shaquille O'Neal, also, if I remember correctly. They have all shared their beliefs about a flat earth. And many have talked about a conspiracy being behind all this. It's being kept this whole flat earth thing a secret. And we just don't know. Or we're being lied to. And the earth is really flat. Well, all I got to say, kids, is think for yourselves. Don't let some musician tell you what to think or how to think. Kyrie Irving is pretty good at basketball when he's healthy and not injured. But I wouldn't get my science advice from him. I mean, yeah, he throws a pretty good basketball. There's a lot of physics involved. And, you know, his paycheck, there's a lot of math involved there. But beyond that, I don't really think he knows a whole lot about when it comes to astronomy and the planet. And I certainly don't think that most musicians, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're dumb or they don't understand or know anything. I mean, obviously, you have to have quite a bit of talent to be a musician, to be a writer or a singer or any of those things. I mean, it's more than just passing air through your throat and making notes and making words. But it doesn't mean that you know a lot about science. And kids, you got to understand. You can't take what these people do seriously. I grew up with people that did some really dumb things too. So I didn't follow what they were doing. I just looked at them. They're entertainers, and that's what they do. They entertain us, however that may be. If they're singing or they're saying really dumb things to get attention, that's what they do. They're entertainers. They're there to entertain us. They're just like the jesters of the era. That's all they are. They're just there to entertain us. And the real scientists, well, they're there to give us answers. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's done the best he can to thwart these stories. Every time one of these hits the airwaves, he's right there doing an interview, talking about how it's wrong. Here's the answers. This is why these things are wrong. He's there. But unfortunately, you know, he doesn't play a guitar. I can't throw a rock, can't throw the basketball. So they don't take him seriously, I guess. I guess being a scientist, a physicist, being a rock star, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. We all have our tastes, I guess. I think it's cool. I think science is sexy. That's just me. I need to get that on a t-shirt as quickly as possible. I hope Jim Mallard's not here anymore, because he'll probably beat me to it. So yeah, the earth is spherical, kids. I'm telling you. I know. Have I seen it? Well, not exactly. I mean, I've been up in airplanes quite high, 15,000 feet plus. I mean, you can do your own experiments. I've been on lakes. I've been on oceans. I've seen things. You can tell the arc of the – you can tell. Come on. You can tell the curvature of the earth. It's not that hard. And then you're in your airplanes and all these things you guys come up with about the airplanes flying off the planet or I don't know, these weird things of your belief systems. It just doesn't make sense. It's mind-boggling. But anyway, I'm not going to go down that dark path, the flat belief systems. Anyway, that's it. My rant is over for the night. I'm tired of talking about flat Earth. Hopefully that's the last story we'll ever have on the flat earth saga. I doubt it. I know. I agree. But it's interesting. It's good conversation because, you know, not to poke fun at what other people believe, but, you know, you're wrong, basically. I trust science. Yeah, I'm not up in space. I don't see it with my own uncurved eyes. Actually, my eyes are spherical as well. So I don't know. I just trust the science. And I've seen the science. There's little experiments you can do. Look it up. It's on YouTube. Same place that you watch your music videos and download your illegal music from. I know you do. Anyway, I'm going down that path again. So as always, if you have any information about paranormal conferences, conventions, let me know. I do my best to create a nice list. I talked a good 10 minutes about that in the beginning of the show, but I need your help. If you have any information about any event I don't have on that list, let me know. I'm trying to make it the best of the best of the best. People are stealing it anyway, and I love that. I think it's great. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com or go to paranewsinsider.com. There's a contact link. There's a little form you can fill out. You can send me information, and I'll get it within a couple days. And I'll do my best to get it uploaded. Pretty busy. I'm kind of involved in stuff, but I do my best. That being said, big thanks to Cindy, my producer, for all the work that she does. And she's a little under the weather, so I hope she gets better very soon, at least by next Tuesday. Just kidding. Hopefully tomorrow. Be good. And for Dita and Paul in the chat room for all your help, and to Duck every time I throw something your way as far as links are concerned. And everyone else out there, I really appreciate you tuning in, whether live or otherwise, as a podcast. I do appreciate it, and I see these numbers. Not sure what to believe, but I believe that people are out there listening, and I do appreciate it. And I do get some good mail, and I get some hate mail too, which is hate mail is just as good as good mail as far as I'm concerned. Because if I made you mad enough, you don't agree with what I'm saying, I know I'm making a difference one way or the other. So I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.